Good day, and welcome to the DAE Investor Relations conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Director of Corporate Development, Sinan Cahya. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon. My name is Sinan Cahya, Director of Corporate Development, and I'm responsible for Fixed Income Investor Relations. Welcome to the conference call to discuss DAE's results for the 9 months ended September 2019. Our discussions in this call may include forward-looking statements, and we refer you to the disclaimer on slide 2 of the presentation, which talks about this further detail. The call will be recorded, and a replay will be available on our website. There will be two speakers today, Firoz, our CEO, and Jennifer, our CFO. After the speakers' remarks, there will be a Q&A session. I will now hand you over to Firoz to provide an overview of our performance.
Great. Thank you, Sinan. And welcome, everybody, to the third quarter 2019 call. You know, as we have done in prior calls, I'm going to make a few comments using page 3 as my backdrop, just really comments around highlights in the quarter, and then Jennifer will take us through the rest of the presentation, and both of us will be back at the end for Q&A. So with that, let me just quickly say that the portfolio in the third quarter was steady. It's about $14 billion, about 350 assets. But the one new development that we reported in September was that we had received the industry's largest mandate, the source and manage fund. So that's $1.4 billion. All of that is committed funding, and we are looking to populate that within the underwriting envelope that we've agreed upon in a time frame that we think is accelerated but will be driven ultimately by what's available that fits within that time frame. So those numbers are not included in the first line that you see on that piece of paper. That roughly will translate into about kind of 50 assets. So as those get populated, in our future presentation, we will include or begin to include that dimension of the portfolio that's not at least in the September numbers. You will notice that our metrics softened a little bit in the reported period, principally because we had some one-off items which were there in prior year periods that we did not have. Nonetheless, kind of stay where within our target range, but as we go forward, this will get better, and I'll reference why in a minute. Again, from a funding standpoint, unsecured debt is now almost 60% of total debt. It's quite a dramatic change from what had existed in the past. Just in this quarter alone, we raised $490 million of debt. Mostly through three different channels, mostly in the bank group segment. And because we are currently flush with liquidity, we don't really have any plans to come into the market for a capital markets issuance at this point. Of course, you know, if we see an asset portfolio to acquire, that'll change that. But as things stand at the moment, we don't anticipate coming to the market for any unsecured issuance. We priced, as most of you have seen, a very successful ABS transaction. This was Falcon 2019-1. Gains from that will come through the income statement in the next couple of quarters, and that'll drive back up the metrics that I referred to earlier. Timing for us is always a thing. You know, we are not public companies, so therefore we're not a slave to this smoothening quarter over quarter out. We make the right economic decisions, and in some quarters that will have a adverse comparative effect. But overall, the franchise is served well by our flexibility to make the right economic decision when it is right, as opposed to a convenient quarter timing, if you will. The last comment I will make, that because our unsecured debt is now so high, KBRA removed the notching that existed between our corporate debt and unsecured debt, so now the unsecured debt is also BBB plus. And for those of you who are curious as to why we haven't seen any action from or reaction, whatever, from Moody's and S&P, we continue to have discussions with them. And I think, as most of you know, this is a qualitative process which sometimes takes longer than what you anticipate, but we still, the discussions continue to go on. So let me stop there, and if you have any questions on any of these things, I'll be happy to address that during Q&A, and now turn it over to Jennifer.
Thank you, Feroz. So I'll now move on to slide 4, where we provide a more detailed analysis of our fleet. At the end of September, the total fleet was 358 aircraft, which consisted of 301 owned aircraft, 51 managed aircraft, and 6 aircraft on committed aircraft. This gives a total fleet value of $14 billion. So far this year, we've purchased 8 aircraft and sold a total of 19 aircraft. Our portfolio is very well diversified by asset type and by region, and there has been very little change in the mix since last quarter, with narrow bodies at 52% of the portfolio, wide bodies excluding 777s at 28%, and freighters at 13% of our portfolio. From a regional perspective, we are also very well diversified, 26% in the Middle East, 22% Asia, 17% Europe, followed by the Americas, Africa, China, and South Asia. At the end of September 2019, our average fleet age was 6.1 years and our average remaining lease term was 6.3 years based on half-life CMV. Fleet utilization was at 99.8%. Slide 5 shows further analysis of our customers in further detail. We have 111 customers in our fleet across 56 countries. Our largest customer is Emirates at 12% of at CMV, followed by Gulf Air at 8%. Moving now on to slide 6, where we provide more detail on the financial highlights. Operating profit to the end of September 2019 was $566.5 million compared to $582 million for the same period last year. The primary reason for this decrease year on year was due to increased depreciation costs. Profit before tax was $286 million compared to $333 million in the prior period last year, and we have a pre-tax profit margin of 27% at the end of September. The adjusted EBITDA was $999.2 million in line with the prior period, and we have an adjusted EBITDA margin of 93%. Touching briefly on the quarter to the end of September, we had profit of $63 million compared to $95 million in the same quarter in 2018. This variance is mainly due to lower gains on sale following the disposal of aircraft in 2018, when we had more aircraft sold during that quarter. Moving on to slide 7. Our revenue for the 9 months ended September 19 was just over $1 billion at $1,070.4 million, and this was in line with the prior period. Total lease revenue was just over $1 billion, and it was a small decrease on the prior year, due primarily to a lower number of revenue-generating aircraft in the fleet and increased bad debt charges. This is offset by increased maintenance revenue relating to end-of-lease compensation payments that we received during this year. 93% of our lease revenue was fixed at the end of September 2019, and this is up from 88% for the same period last year. And our top 5 customers represent 29% of our total lease revenue. We also had gains on disposal of aircraft during the year of $32 million, which is in line with the same period for last year. And this gain relates to the sale of 19 aircraft, the average age of which was 10 years old. Looking now at further detail at our expenses on slide 8. Overall expenses for the period were $536.2 million, an increase of 3.2% on the prior year. As I mentioned earlier, this increase was due to increased depreciation charges compared to the prior year. Cost of providing engineering services has also increased, but this is in line with the increase noted by Joramco on the earlier slide. General and admin expenses have decreased to $60.6 million to September 2019, and our SG&A percentage of revenue is still at 6%. Net finance costs have increased in 2019 to $280.5 million from $248.5 million at the end of September 2018. And this is due mainly to lower finance income in 2019. This primarily relates to a gain of $22 million of mark-to-market that we received in 2018, which was a non-cash item. All movements now on mark-to-market or derivatives, as they're also known, are part of other comprehensive income in the accounts in 2019. We also had lower gains on financial instruments during 2019 and increased amortization of debt into issuance costs, offset by lower interest expenses in 2019. Our average cost of debt at the end of September was 4.4%. Looking now at slide 9, where we provide more detail on our funding and liquidity. As previously mentioned, our total loans and borrowings at the end of September were $8.9 billion. We have changed the profile of our debt on the balance sheet over the last year, in line with our stated objective to increase the level of unsecured debt in the company. Total available liquidity, which includes undrawn revolving credit facilities and cash equivalents, was $1.8 billion at the end of September 2019. During the quarter to the end of September, we closed a $300 million 7-year unsecured term loan. Our unsecured debt now stands at $5.1 billion, which is 57% of our total debt, up from 46% at the end of 2018. Our secured debt has therefore fallen to under $4 billion. And secured debt as a percentage of total assets was 27% at the end of September 2019. The total of number of unencumbered aircraft increased to 160 aircraft, up from 138 at year-end, and the total value of our unencumbered fleet is now $6.1 billion. Turning to slide 10, where we look at the balance sheet in further detail. We've continued to actively manage our balance sheet to maximise returns. Total assets for the group were $14.2 billion at the end of September. The total equity was $3.4 billion, down from $3.5 billion at the end of last year, following the repurchase of shares, which we announced in the last quarterly call. Following the repurchase of these shares, we now are 100% owned by ICD. Our balance sheet metrics remain strong, with a pre-tax return on equity of 11.1% and a net debt to equity of 2.56 times at the end of September 2019. I will now hand back to Feroz for final comments and then Q&A. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. I don't have any additional comments, so operator, could you kindly open the call up for questions, if any?
Thank you. And as a reminder, it is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Mark Kehoe from McKay Shields. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm just wondering whether you could talk about the loss on the plane sales in the quarter, or whether what was going on there. Thank you.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I'm not sure I fully understood.
I was just looking at the numbers. When I kind of back in the gains in the quarter from plane sales, it looks to be kind of a low number. Is there a negative number there, or is this simply zero for the quarter, given the fact there were no gains on sales from planes or aircraft?
Jennifer, I'll hand this over to you.
One aircraft sold during the quarter, and as you noted there, Mark, we had a small loss coming through in this quarter. Though, as Feroz mentioned earlier, we've just done another ABS transaction that was announced just at the end of last week, and we will see gains coming through from that transaction over the coming quarter. I hope that answers.
It was a low activity period, Ian.
And that gain is, or the loss on the aircraft doesn't need to be carried over into the rest of your aircraft fleet in terms of that it doesn't have a valuation mark that would have
no
consequences.
No, it would not, Mark. No.
And
okay.
And follow up question: in terms of the arrears, have arrears increased in the quarter since the second quarter?
So yes, we have seen an increase in our arrears from quarter two, Mark. So as you are aware, you know, we continuously work with our outstanding debtor balances to try and reduce those, and we have seen a small increase in this quarter compared to last quarter.
Can you tell me what that figure is, or is that public?
Yes, no, it's in the balance sheet. The outstanding receivables is $62 million at the end of the quarter.
Thank you. And sorry, my last question then is just in terms of the kind of the current M&A activity within the aircraft leasing space that we've seen over the past, you know, kind of 9 months. Can you kind of tell me what your kind of your view is on that, and whether you're kind of willing participant in that overall kind of M&A activity? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, our history is very successful in organic growth. We have said publicly that we're quite open to that, but we've also said publicly that we don't want to participate in any buy now, regret later scheme. So unless it's the right value, it's not the right property for us. But at the right value, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jenny Hainsruth from Helaba. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I'm quite interested in the outlook for the full year 2019. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Did you say outlook for full year 2019?
Yes, that's correct. The outlook for the full year.
We generally don't provide forward-looking guidance, but there is no reason that our fourth quarter will not be in line with what you've seen from us in the fourth quarter of last year or the first three quarters of this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Jesse Milner from Mizuho. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you talk a little bit about the freighter exposure? I'm relatively new to this space, but I was reading in the IATA stat about global air freight volumes declining for 10 consecutive months. So if you could just speak a little to that. Thanks.
Right. So as you immerse yourself in this wonderful world of freighters, you will discover that the market is quite fragmented. And so just to be very clear, we don't do anything other than factory fresh 777 freighters. We don't touch anything converted. We don't touch anything old, any of that stuff. So our freighter exposure is entirely factory fresh 777 freighters that are on lease to Emirates and one other airline in the U.S. Again, top-notch kind of from a quality, credit quality perspective. And the market there is completely different than general market because the 777 freighter is the workhorse of the industry. So whether you are a Korean Air Cargo, which is a you know airline cargo, or a dedicated freight operator like FedEx or TNT or whatever, you just can't do long haul without having this as the core of your fleet because it delivers incredible operating cost performance. So, and because of that, and because of the shortage of this type of aircraft in general, this operates almost as an oasis within the general noisy articles that you read about the freighter market in general.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the call back to CEO Feroz Tarapour for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, well, terrific. And once again, thank you very much to everybody for attending. And any questions, you know how to reach Sinan, and we look forward to speaking with you again in a quarter. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.